If we win, I'm reading the paper in the cafe. If we lose, I'm in a dark room for probably 12 hours.
Just seeing pictures of myself places I hadn't seen them before, that at times made me a bit edgy.
We don't want to be known for a group that just loses, so we're not accepting losing.
I giggle at some of these comments from the experts, and they don't really know what's going on.
I think people can really see the way that we want to play because we think that it works and stacks up.
It's great fun. When you're winning, not when you miss goals after the siren. That's
your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
And it's always a good chat with the vice captain of the Hawks, Isaac Smith, who joins us again on the Inner Sanctum. Good morning to you, Isaac.
Morning, Huff.
What happened? Bloody hell happened.
Where?
Sitting there.
When?
Watching the telly, watching the boys in action. Half time, I'm thinking we've got this covered.
Well, if we
what
knew what happened?
Happened,
mate, we would have won. I'm not sure what happened.
Fades
and Hodgie have just got the number on us. Brisbane have 4 wins for the year and 2 of them against us, so it's not good.
Does that sting a bit?
It doesn't sting that it's Brisbane. It just stings that Fades is the coach and Hodgie's up there playing.
Yeah.
Because in about 10 years' time, when we're having a couple of beers, I reckon they might be rubbing it in.
Was it a bit sad that he was out with a calf, Hodgie? Didn't get to...
I think it might have been a planned calf. I'm not sure. But...
Are you suggesting he didn't want to take the field against you guys? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm suggesting he's getting old and he picks and chooses when he plays now.
That seems to be a fair assessment. That's a fair assessment, I reckon.
Anyway, to change the subject, Arf,
yes.
Gee, you're glowing from your holiday.
I don't ever. No, just very tan.
Need my sonny's in here, is that bright?
Bronzed.
I would describe him as beaming.
Beaming. I don't know if bronzed is the colour I would use, but...
Beaming and bronze is okay. You're able to use those words. Thank you, Sherelle.
Okay.
You're able to use those words. What was, getting back to the performance on the weekend, what was the washout? What was the assessment from the coaching staff?
That they got the better of us. It's actually a little bit disappointing because in the first half, we controlled all our major stats and we just didn't kick straight.
Yes.
And we probably should have been up by 5 or 6 goals. And once you get in those positions in AFL games, it's very difficult for the opposition to come back. But then, yeah, Brisbane did what they did to us last time. They just took the game on, ran, spread really hard from stoppage, and they were able to get out numbers forward of the ball and end up kicking easy goals, which was the story of about 8 weeks ago. So it was a little bit disappointing, but we've got this week.
How closely did you look at the game that you lost previously, earlier in the year, to them, and then think about changes you wanted to make last week?
A little bit, but not massively. I guess 2 months down the track, things have changed. And we came off a really good win against Western Bulldogs the week before, where we smashed them off the park. So we're pretty confident going into the game. Who knows? Were we overconfident? Not sure. But, yeah, credit to Brisbane. I think they're going to be a really good team. And they seem to have a little bit of Leicester about them from... a few years ago, where I think they might win a few games at the end of this year and then play some really strong footy next year.
So I just want to go back to how you're feeling because, the commentary after the game, and we certainly talked about this on Monday, that it was a real unforced error from you guys, considering the opportunity that was there in front of you. Do you get a bit more angry when there's those sort of games, or is it you can't afford to let emotions get the better of you because it's the long season, you got to look forward to the next week and all that sort of rush?
Oh, I think you get a bit angry and a bit emotional after a game, especially when you expect to win, or maybe not expect to win, but it can put you in a great position. I think if we won on the weekend, we could have went to as high as 5th on the ladder, but we lost, and now we're 9th or 10th, I'm not sure. But, yeah, it was just a really disappointing loss. If we get that win, especially down in Tassie where we don't lose too much, it really sets our season up and puts some strong belief in the team. But we certainly let that one slip, Whitey.
So does it change the confidence you have in what you can do this year, just the loss? Because I thought after the Bulldogs game that second half, I thought if you marry that up with that third quarter against Adelaide... That's the sort of Hawthorn I think a lot of us expected to see this year. And you start to think, oh, they're the dangerous team. You know, they're the one that everyone respects you for what you've done previously.
Yeah.
They're the ones you've got to look after. And then that happens on Saturday. So what does the group feel about that? Does it change or not?
I guess when you have losses that you don't expect, it certainly shocks and rattles the group a little bit. What was pleasing in our sense is that 6 of the top teams on the weekend all lost to teams below them. So we're still of the opinion that all you have to do this year is make finals and anything can happen, other than probably Richmond, who are the real standout of the competition at the moment. It's anyone's ball game. And I think everyone above us, if we haven't beaten them, it's only been a one or two goal loss as well. So we're pretty confident that when we're playing teams above us, we seem to play pretty good footy. It's we're letting games slip when we play teams below us.
It probably wasn't, yeah, in the grand scheme of things, considering the outcomes, it probably wasn't as bad as it first could have been.
Yeah.
On the weekend. But what was good was the form of Jago O'Meara. I thought he played probably his best game for the Hawks since his time, I imagine, from what I can remember anyway off the top of my head. Four goals, it was all involved in the play, inside, outside. He had a really good balance to his game. Does that give you the team confidence going forward that, obviously, as the team gets better, he'll get better as well?
I think so, and I think he's been building to that form for probably the last 2 months. He's had some really solid games for us. He probably, as you said, hasn't had a genuine breakout game, but certainly on the weekend, he was the dominant Hawthorn player on the ground.
Mm.
Wasn't the dominant player on the ground.
No.
But probably Martin for them, or a Dane Beans or a Zorko was pretty influential. But, yeah, he was certainly a dominant Hawthorn player on the ground, which is pleasing. And I think the fans love when Jager's playing well as well. They do.
Well, everyone loves him.
He's quite good looking. He's got big muscles. And everyone loves him.
Well, wasn't he the one that you weren't keen to have around at your place?
No, that was Ryan Burton.
Actually, yeah, Ryan Burton. But it's funny, like, as attractive Jager is, my missus said he's nearly too perfect, that he's too attractive, that she likes the rugged look, obviously. So,
so he's the one you do want to have coming.
Yeah, I don't even have to worry about him now.
How's the relationship with Ryan Burton? You were a bit concerned about that last year.
With the missus?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, going all right. He just bought a house about 150 metres from my house, so... it's a bit close for my partner to just wander over and get dinner.
Yeah. a cup of sugar, nothing wrong with
that. How are the wedding plans going?
I've got no idea. Maisie out the back asked me just before. He said, how are the plans going? I said, I'm not sure, you have to ask Candace. I've done absolutely bugger all, and I hear about it every day. It's her birthday today, actually. Happy birthday, Candace.
Said with such love. It's
you got a present yet?
I do have a present.
Yeah, well, that's good stuff.
Got a gift. Can't say I haven't given it to her yet.
Yeah, that's good.
She's still asleep when I left.
Good on her. Happy birthday, dear Candace. I'm sure she'll be listening. She loves the program. give us a call, 1-300-652-927 to talk to Isaac if you need to just mention a few things. I need to mention James Sicily, because we often talk about James Sicily when you're in, funnily enough, but this time it's for injury. He looks like he's out for about 6 weeks with a scaphoid. How big a blow is that going to be?
Yeah, it's going to be a fairly big blow. He's probably been top two or three defenders in the competition this year, probably. His ability to intercept mark and then set us up from rebound there has been pretty important. But that's happened. So hopefully a young guy comes in and really takes his opportunity, which Box Hill, I think, are now in the top four in the VFL and been playing some pretty good footy. So great opportunity for one of them to come in and really press their case.
There's not much more not many more people in the country that would have more of a broken heart than Adam White on the back of this news. You know?
No, I was devastated.
Did you want to play golf with him?
Yeah, well, I was actually going to ask you, is it going to affect his golf more, or is he more upset about missing golf or footy?
Probably golf, I think. Well, he plays footy once a week, and he plays golf about seven times a week, so...
I know what you just said then, but I don't know whether you can replace someone as good as James Sicily.
No, he's a good player.
Someone can come in, yeah, they'll play his role, but to play it at his level, he's been very special to you this year.
Yeah, he's been awesome. But if you go back and look at my time at Hawthorn, when we lost Lance Franklin, we possibly became a better side, and he's the best player that I've ever played with and best player in the competition, probably, over the last 10 to 15 years. So you always find something. You find something out about yourself when one of your best players goes down or leaves. So, as I said, it's a great opportunity for someone else to come in.
Who do you think that might be? You got any ideas?
No. Maybe.
Maybe, but I can't say just
keeping
yet.
That under your beanie, are you?
Yeah, under my beanie.
The other one I want to ask you about is Tom Mitchell. We always, so often we get text messages or tweets about Tom Mitchell and his game, and he's had another 40-odd disposals on the weekend. Didn't get in the best or didn't get any coaches' votes or anything like that. How do you judge a good Tom Mitchell game?
Personally?
Mm.
Uh, playing with Tom, it's amazing just his work rate, his ability to go contest to contest and just put himself in positions to get the ball. And that's why he gets so much of the footy. As a wingman, you purely want the inside mids just crashing in and getting the contested ball and tackling and that, and then feeding it out to us. So that's how I'd judge his game, personally. If he's doing that and he's getting a hell of a lot of clearances and he's just bulling through the opposition, then that's how I'd see a really good inside midfielder's game.
I mean, his numbers are extraordinary. I know it's not just about numbers, but as a teammate, do you get surprised when you walk off the ground and work out how many possessions he's had? Or is it like, that's just the role he plays in his team and we do tend to feed through him and that's just what he does?
Yeah, oh, it's certainly the truth, Whitey. When I come off the ground, I've got no idea what happens. We sit in meetings on Monday and Clarko will be recalling the game to us, and Ruffy and Clarko will just be playing tennis, recalling play-by-play, and I'll have no idea what's occurred in the whole game. So when I walked off on the weekend and someone said Tommy had 45... I nearly fell over because I didn't even realise that he had the ball on the weekend. So I don't know what I'm looking at. But, yeah, it's amazing that just some of the things, you don't even notice what occurs during the game. And until you see the vision or the stats, you're not 100% sure.
Hmm. That's an unusual. Are there many guys like you? I mean, that's unusual.
Yeah, I reckon a lot of the blokes are like that. Yeah. Unless, say, I kick a goal or there's a big play in a game, like Cyril sitting on someone's head or something like that. Because there's so many things going on, and I'm not necessarily worried about who's kick mark or handballing the ball. You're trying to set up everything else behind the ball.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Is it more a reflection on the way modern footy's played in terms of the structure and strategy of it as opposed to just the natural feel and flow of it?
I think so. If you don't have the ball in your hand or you're not leading to the ball, I don't reckon you really concentrating on necessarily who's kicking or marking it. You're more worried about the pattern you're running or what are the opposition doing or where your teammates are relevant to you and stuff like that.
Well, we've spoken to Taylor Adams a bit about this, about the stats that you get when you come off at halftime and things. Do you have a good sense of how you've gone personally, or is it a surprise when you see your numbers, your pressure numbers and your stats, or do you have a pretty good gauge on that for yourself as you're playing?
Unless I see the stats pop up on the board at the ground we're playing, I'd have no idea what I come off with. The only time you'd have an idea is when you haven't touched the ball and you know you haven't touched it. But when you're in the game, I would personally have no idea. I wouldn't know if I'll come off with 15 touches at the end of the game or I've had 30. You'd know if you've kicked a goal or whatever, but that'd be about it.
Yeah.
And what about the... I've noticed, and maybe I've just noticed it, and you've done it for a long time, but out on the field, you seem to be doing more in regards to getting people set up behind the ball, getting people set up at a stoppage. Is that happened as you've got more experience, more of a leadership role now, or you've always done that? You seem to be doing it a lot more now.
I think personally I was always quite loud. Some may say obnoxious.
There's a difference between being your normal self and instructional and setting...
Yeah, no, I always made sure that that's in my game, whether it's gone up a notch, who knows, but I've always made sure that I've done things like that because I think it's hugely important, especially as a young guy just playing country footy. Always remembered that I'd be a 16-year-old or a 15-year-old playing with older blokes, and if they didn't say anything to you, you felt like a spare dick out there pretty much, and you had no idea. Sorry, let us say that. And you'd have no idea. We've lost Whitey here.
Man down.
And you had no idea what was going on. So I always thought it was pretty important. Whether you're the youngest guy in the team or the oldest bloke in the team, whether it's instructional or just receiving the feedback and being loud with that, it's pretty important.
No one wants to be the spare one. 7:20 on The Breakfast Club. Isaac Smith from the Hawks has joined us in the Inner Sanctum. There's plenty more to talk about with him. We'll do it after this on The Breakfast Club.
Exclusive access behind closed doors. The Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
7:24, Isaac Smith with us from the Hawks, the Inner Sanctum guest, the vice captain of the Hawks. This every couple of weeks on RSN 927. We love when he comes in. It's Candice's birthday, so it's great news for Candice today because you'll get a great present. What sort of the area of present giving are we giving today? What sort of part of the shopping centre are we going to?
Can we talk about that? We might be going to a motorbike store.
Oh,
I beg your pardon?
Candace drives around on a Vespa.
Does she?
Yeah. Everywhere, yeah.
Nice.
Rightio.
And she's a bit of a lead foot.
Rightio. No,
she's got a bit of a father in her. So, yeah, we'll be heading there, I think.
Rightio. Right. Well, stay safe, Candace, but good luck to you.
Taking the lovely out for dinner tonight?
Yeah, we're meeting halfway between Ballarat and Melbourne with her parents.
Oh,
so
nice.
Candace isn't a big one on celebrating birthdays. She doesn't understand why you'd celebrate getting a year older.
I'm kind of with her on that.
Just because you can, just because you're still there.
Yeah.
Celebrate's still being there. Now, you hopefully, there's a celebration Sunday afternoon after a victory, but nothing is given and guaranteed these days. The Blues at Etihad Stadium, what have you made of Carlton's year? Have you been watching? Do you watch all the other teams? Do you pay attention to what's going on?
I try to, but it's been difficult this year to watch a lot of footy just with the way our draw's been set up and how our weekends have panned out. Carlton's season, it's obviously been a little bit disappointing for them. My father's a major Carlton supporter, so I do hear about it a lot. But in saying that, and what I think gets missed is that I think they've changed 40 players on their list in the last 2 years. We've changed probably 15, and we see the effect that that has on our list. So it's going to take time for teams to build and do that stuff. But in saying that, they've been some weeks been really strong and in some games, and they've got blokes like Cripps, who's absolutely dominating the midfield, yeah, and he's a premier midfield in the comp. They've got Charlie Kerner, who just seems to be sitting on blokes' heads every week and causing problems there. So blokes I really rate, is it Zach Fisher?
Yep.
I really rate him. He's playing some awesome footy, and Cade Simpson told me in the pre-season that he's really one to watch, and he could be a pretty special player for them. So yeah, we're gonna have our work cut out, and we've got to play better footy than what we played on the weekend.
Alistair Clarkson made a comment after the game about we lost spirit on the weekend. Is that, does he use that through the week to make sure that that's not a problem for you on Sunday?
Yeah, well, we've probably just been more in the review phase thus far. Because we're playing on Sunday, we'll get into the majority of that on Thursday and Friday. Yep. So I'm sure he'll be pretty worked up and ready for a big win, hopefully this week. But as we said, you go into every game this year and it seems to be 50-50, and it's Carlton's home ground, so we've got to go there and knock them off.
You just came in here, must have been about 6 weeks ago after the trial. Was it 6 weeks? 4 weeks.
Six,
after
the
trial, where you had the little 20-minute session at Etihad Stadium for some of the new rules that might come in next season.
Yeah.
Looks like they will be expanded, those trials, according to Johnny Rolfe in today's Herald Sun with some other clubs. Since that time, the game's changed a bit, I think. The quality of football, the standard of football and the flow of football has changed. Do you think that's driven by the coaches, or is that just part of the cycle of the year that June gets a bit tough, and when there's an opportunity for teams to make the finals, things start to open up and the game changes again?
Yeah, I reckon it's probably more the June, July, August factor where players fatigue, teams fatigue. You know, I think if it's cold and wet and stuff like that, you know, people are off probably 5 or 10% and you just start to see higher games, because I think the first thing that drops off is defence more than offence in a game of footy. So we've seen some games open up a little bit. I'd still love to see more free-flowing games, though.
You still want those starting positions where you had a good time?
Well, there's been some pretty tough games of footy to watch, I would have thought.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. You talked about it. You were a bit reserved talking about it at the time when you had the trial.
Well, I thought we were on a muzzle on the face.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
But everyone else was talking about it. Yeah.
But you did sort of, you gave us a little bit to say how much you enjoyed the starting positions. Now, Stephen Hawking has come out and said they're coming in. We've got to get used to them. Can you expand a little bit more now on what you experienced from those, from the little trials that you had to deal with?
Yeah.
What it was like?
Well, I think the biggest thing was there was space for midfielders, high half forwards and high half backs to actually run and use the ball. And then I found that your full forward and your forward pockets and that seemed to have more energy because they weren't probably squeezing as high up the ground and stuff like that. So then you saw more one-on-one contests with the defender and the forward in the forward line. So it was just more of an offensive attacking game purely because there just wasn't enough time to crunch the ground. So whoever won the contested possession in the middle of the ground and won the stoppage then seemed to be able to flow out a fair bit and play some really exciting footy.
So there's a lot of people that are worried about change, worried about the things that are coming in place. So what
That's society, isn't it?
Yes. So what have you got to say to those people, having experienced it? You're one of only a very few that have experienced these new trials. What have you got to say to those people?
I reckon a lot of those same people would be saying that footy was better in the 80s and 90s when players didn't squeeze and there was no behind-the-goals vision to pick players out for not crunching up the stoppages and not crunching up following the ball. So, I think Australia's got an interesting idea to change. I obviously grew up in a family where my father was pretty strong on change and so was mum, where we moved around a fair bit and you just have to adapt. So if it's a better product, then you go with it.
Was it hard to get back into the starting position in terms of that timing?
Personally, not for me.
You sort of stuck in the middle.
But, I'm not sure how that'll work. I'm not sure exactly what they're going to bring in either. I haven't really read many of the articles and that around it, but I don't think it'll be too difficult. I wouldn't have thought.
But in your view, it'll be better?
I don't know if it will be. In my view, if footy sees more one-on-one contests and higher scoring, then it has to be better, doesn't it?
Well, I think so. But I mean, I don't think you need to have a 125 to 110 game to be a good game. You can have a good game that's 75 to 65.
Well, there used to be some great games between Sydney and West Coast that were 50
odd. Your definition of a good game is subjective.
I think it's a good contest. Is a good game.
I love that. I don't necessarily need 25 goals to 20.
Yeah.
But if, in the classic, when we discussed this Monday, the classic was Richmond and the Giants on Saturday night. But that was a great game of footy. And it was 79 to 77. So you don't need to be scoring through the roof.
Yeah.
You just need flow, absolutely. You want flow. It doesn't necessarily have to translate to goals.
It doesn't have to translate to goals, but it'd be great to see a full forward and a full back going at it.
Yep.
See, I think more with you. I think it's to set the game up the way it was supposed to set up, where there are one-on-one contests and players can use their skills that make our game so great to watch, but actually allow them to perform their activity. So for you, we want to see you run and bounce and carry and lace out the full forward. We want to see the full forward and the fullback have these great contests because there's not 30 players around them. That's the sort of stuff I think we want to see.
And that's
that
what
still
I
means there can be contests.
And I think we're missing that a bit. We're missing the ability for the players to actually show their skills and use their skills because there is just physically too many people around them.
Yeah, and I don't think any players really have a direct opponent anymore.
Mm.
Like if anyone came off the ground and said, even your full back, because if a forward drops in front of him, then he's probably going to roll up to him and then someone else will roll behind. So you just don't get those pure one-on-one contests. You don't get Spud Frawley v. Yeah. Jason Dunstall anymore, do you?
No.
What's your relationship like with your runner? Are they on and off quickly, do you think? Are they getting in the way? There's a lot of talk about them this week.
No, I find the umpires get in the way a bit more with their running patterns, just because you're on the wing. Yeah. And when you're on the wing, they always back out of stoppages straight into you. So you're doing a bit of a jig to get around them usually. No, I hardly notice our runner, really.
Doesn't talk to you much?
Nah, talks to me a little bit. He's a good fella, Boydie. Individual, there's one runner that gets around everyone. Like, you hardly notice him, really. You'll hear a message and he'll be 15 metres away and then he's off type thing. So as players, you probably notice it more as fans and spectators on TV, I would have thought.
Well, they might not be around too much longer the way things are going. If Whitey has his way, they'll be gone. And I'm coming around to his thinking on that. But hopefully you get a victory on Sunday. Etihad Stadium, Carlton and Hawthorn, 1:10 start. The early game on Sunday. Isaac, nice to have you in as always. Good luck with dinner tonight.
Thank you.
And hopefully the shopping is a success.
Is it a helmet or an actual...
not detailed. Just broad topic stuff.
I reckon if she's listening, she'll know anyway.
Good on you, mate. Go well this weekend. Isaac Smith, the vice-captain of the Hawks, with us in the inner sanctum. After the break, Mark Stevens.